Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I do, in fact, love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a world where The Suicide Squad is in theaters on August 6th, and I can't wait with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, July 25th, 2021, and my guests today are three returning champs. What? Ooh. Yeah. Champs. Oh. Yeah. Paget Brewster, Ben David Grabinski, and Jonah Ray. Hello, everybody.
Hello. We are the champs, collectively known as.
Yeah. You, Jonah Ray and Paget Brewster, have been what I call dangling champs, which means you won on a show, but then you could not come back the next week. And then we just had to, you know, wait till we could find a spot to get you back on the show. And Ben David Grabinski is an ongoing champion who this is his fourth appearance in as many weeks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So he's been going strong. And it's anybody's guess who's going to win today. And I'm excited for it. But let's talk to everybody individually before we get into it, starting with the voice of Behind the Attraction, the new series on Disney Plus. It's Paget Brewster. Hello, Paget.
Hey, Doug, have you been watching? Have you been able to watch any of it?
I have not watched any of it yet because I watched the like trailer thingy, and your voice and what they're doing and what the show is so exciting to me. Have you ever had something you're so excited to watch that you don't watch it because it's fun to know that you have it ready to go when you want it to happen?
I totally understand.
I'm so excited about the show. So
I just hope you like it. I hope you like it. That's my biggest concern.
It's not an ongoing thing, you know, like you could watch, it's evergreen. You could watch an episode at any time. Like there isn't going to be a point where I'm like not interested in anything about the Haunted Mansion. Like I could, just the fact that it's an hour, I'm like, how did you get it all in? I can't wait to watch them. And each episode is a different Disneyland attraction, kicking off with Jungle Cruise, just as a tie in for the motion picture that's, about to come out. And but as long as it brings us this great series, I don't care. That's fine. It's fine by me. But you don't get into the recent changes in the Jungle Cruise, do you?
There is attention paid to the fact that some of the gags do not hold up in today's comedy and political climate.
Oh, that's good. So it is in there. Because I thought it might be like sidestepped because they're trying to promote this big movie, you know, so they don't also be like, hey, this ride used to be racist, you know?
Yeah, no, it's in there. And Trader Sam is still there. But it's weird because on the one hand, it sort of is an advertisement for the park. But the stories behind how everything was made really are fascinating, and I loved doing it. And so I was really expecting it to the whole series to feel like, okay, we're doing an infomercial for Disneyland, but it's really about the history. And they took some, you know, slightly illegal avenues towards building some things. And there's just really interesting. There's some interesting stuff, and I hope you like it.
Yeah, I know Walt was really like, I've been just hearing more and more about how like Disneyland kind of came from a place of rage. Like he was out to prove something.
Yeah.
When he started Disneyland. So he was kind of a reckless dude. And I can't wait to watch this show. And also joining us today, as I mentioned, the unstoppable.
Uh-oh.
He's not a train in a Tony Scott movie, but he is still pretty hard to stop. It's Ben David Grabinski. Hello, dude.
I think all I've ever wanted to be was a train in a Tony Scott movie. So now I just feel like a major failure. But having said that, I would watch a show called Hey, That Ride Was Racist. Like when you mentioned that, someone should make a documentary series and go to every theme park around the country and find out which ones used to be racist or are currently racist. I think that's just like definitely something I would watch myself. But I'm just happy to be here, and that's it.
Well, thank you for that. And I would watch anything about any kind of amusement park situation, but Disneyland in particular is just so fascinating to me. And just went just recently and did the whole masked most of the time thing. And it was lovely. Jonah Ray, hello.
Good intro.
Really big build up. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. The name says it all. You don't have to do much more than that.
I know, right? I probably said too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't you like a show business? Isn't it kind of a show business thing that you're just trying to go by just Jonah at this point?
Exactly. I'm trying to take the reins of Jonah back from Jonah Hill when it comes to
I think people really respect him. So I think they use his last name. So I think you got smooth sailing.
Yeah.
to just be Jonah.
I always call Jonah just Ray. Like, I think that's like the cool thing to call him.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely cool because, you know, we all know what it's short for.
Racist.
Oh, right. I was going to say Ray Gun.
Oh, sorry. Jonah Racist Disneyland Attraction is what they, that's my Christian name.
I would wait in line for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, Jonah. You have so many projects going on all the time, but one is also a member of the Misfit Toys podcast. What are we calling it? A collective?
I think so.
A grouping? A menagerie? But whatever Misfit Toys is, your podcast and Doug Loves Movies are both a part of it. And your podcast is called... How does that movie smell? How's it go?
It's Let Me Watch Your Movie With You.
Watch Your Movie With You. That's it.
It's a bit on hiatus.
He's dealing with something else.
It's a bit on hiatus right now.
Jesus. Why did I, what's not on hiatus? What can we talk about that's fresh?
I mean, I'm working on the new season of Mystery Science Theater.
There you go.
So I'm probably been writing riffs for those for the new episodes that will be independently distributed through the Gizmoplex.
That is a perfect answer. I'm sorry that I pushed that other thing. Just because I felt like I was kind of a part of it, because it's in the same podcast network.
Totally. Yeah, no, it makes sense. I could tell you some other time why I'm not doing it right now, but I will. But I don't want to bring things down. It's the Mystery Science Theater. We're working on the new episodes. It's a lot of fun. We've got some crazy movies coming down.
I will say that I've had a few different very nice people, companies come to me and say, hey, do you want to do a thing where you go on the internet and you watch an entire movie with fans and talk during the movie? And my answer has just been, I feel like that's something I should want to do, but I don't. I just don't want to commit to just sitting and talking through an entire,
we do it live though, and
I do it with an audience in a heartbeat, that I love, I've got some of those on the horizon actually coming
I can't
up
wait here. For those to come back, because those are always the most fun. And I was like, you were having me on those shows even before me being on Mystery Science Theater was even a thing.
Oh, it was a freaking training ground for you, because you were so good at it, and everybody that would come on the show. To be a comedian and be told, here's a microphone, we're going to watch Cocktail and say whatever you want. Like it's just such a fun feeling. To every comedian who do it would be, have so much fun, because, it's just, it makes you can't watch a movie regular style. Cause obviously you're not going to sit there and just yell shit out the whole time.
Yeah. I do remember when we watched, I think, The Conjuring, and I hadn't seen it. And for some reason, just in case you have an idea for a joke, you just keep the mic in front of your mouth. And then I realized everyone could hear me lowly going oh shit.
Oh my God.
My ear was leaking out of my mouth the whole time.
You were such a scaredy cat. It was crazy.
We were too close to the screen. I love horror movies. We were too close.
Kumail was there too. Kumail was also there. You both were jumping at the jump scares and stuff. It was really, it was embarrassing.
All right, enjoy things.
You need to have a podcast called Jonah Scared Stupid, and you just watch horror movies for the first time, 6 inches away from the screen, with just recording your reactions.
Even when I go to the haunted houses, my immediate, I get scared easily, and then I just laugh really hard right after, go, ah, ha, 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 just to show them that I'm not scared that much.
Yeah.
My solution for that is I just tell the people they did a great job. When I go through haunted houses and I get scared, I just turn to the person and say, really well done.
Really well done, sir. And then you give them a handshake.
That's exactly
bravo, right. bravo. It does seem like you have a knife to my throat right now. This feels real good, sir. I gotta visit the corrections department real quickly, because last week we got into some Richard Donner talk, and of course we all know that he produced The Lost Boys, but it was directed by Joel Schumacher for some reason. We glossed over that last week. But now, somebody working in a kitchen? What's that?
Sorry about that.
He's having some jokes delivered to her.
My husband didn't know I was in here doing this, and he's heating something up in the microwave. But I turned the microwave bing sound off, so you won't hear it. It'll be really unsatisfying.
It's fine, but I'm crazy excited that I just guessed kitchen, and that was what was happening. Yeah,
you did it.
I thought someone was trying to scare Jonah. Suddenly, all these weird sounds on here.
It sounded like the soundtrack from Paranormal Activity.
There's nothing scarier though than the plot and tone turn in Cocktail, when that goes from being a fun movie to one of the most depressing movies ever made. So if you ever do Cocktail again as a watch and talk about, let me know, because I have a bunch of TGI Fridays trivia.
From working there?
No, I don't have any. Just the whole movie's an advertisement for TGI Fridays. It's the hottest bar in New York. And that's the best thing about Cocktail. I keep doing callbacks of things that people don't remember were mentioned 8 minutes ago. That's just going to be my thing.
Yeah, just as soon as he starts talking, just focus on the future that's going to happen at any moment.
That's some positive thinking there, Doug.
Yeah, you just got to be like, okay, this is going to pass, and then we're going to be good, because it's never anything, you know, offensive or controversial. What I'd like everybody to do now is a little thing called Recommendation Nation, where each one of you, I would like to recommend one movie. And I think Ben David's more aware of the fact that this question was coming, because he was just on the show last week. So let's let him go first. What's your recommendation this week?
Yeah, this week for a marathon, I watched River's Edge and Brick. So I'm going to go with River's Edge today, from 1986, starring Keanu Reeves and Crispin Glover. It's, I'd say, a low-key masterpiece. It's a super dark, bleak look at disaffected teens that is also out-of-this-world funny. You know, you have dialogue like, go get your nunchucks in your dad's car. And it's just filled with amazing performances. Dennis Hopper, really well directed. It's just, it's a great movie. And it is on Amazon Prime if you want to stream it.
It's the story of being, where you can be too good of a friend to somebody.
Yeah, the Crispin Glover plays the most specific dumb criminal in movie history, where his friend murders someone and he keeps helping him even though he's not being asked. He's like, don't worry, I'll get rid of the bodies. Like, I don't need to.
We gotta help our friend.
He's my friend. I like Jamie, but Jayon is alive. It's so good. Yeah, he's just a criminal who just keeps getting himself in trouble because, like, he does things no one wants him to do. Like, he's like, oh, I gotta help that guy. And the guy's like, I don't need help. And he's like, he really wants my help for the whole thing. It's great.
It's a really, it's strangely fun for how deeply disturbing it is. And it'll be interesting to see how it does against these other movies chosen by, let's go with Padgett. Do you have a recommendation?
I do, and it took me a while to find it. With the passing of Charles Grodin, I kept searching for The Heartbreak Kid, which is the Heartbreak Kid, 1972, so with Charles Grodin, Jeannie Berlin, and Sybil Shepherd, directed by Elaine May, who I believe is Jeannie Berlin's mother. You can only stream it on YouTube. So I have the thing where I can put it on my computer and then I hit an arrow with a screen and put it on my TV. You know how that thing works.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good quality. Someone downloaded the entire or uploaded the entire movie. And it's about a young married couple that goes to Florida on their honeymoon. Jeannie Berlin plays the young wife, the newlywed wife, and I think she either was nominated for an Oscar, may have won the Oscar for it, and she's so unusual. Like, she's just such a unique person, and now in her like 70s, she's popping up in all these shows, like streaming shows, as an older woman, and her delivery is so specific. And Sybil Shepherd is actually great in it. And I feel like she probably wouldn't be that fun of a gal in real life, but she's great in The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
As is Grodin. So I was really happy that I finally found a way to watch it, because it's nowhere. You can't buy it. You can't rent it. You can't. It's nowhere. It's just on YouTube.
Yeah. And they remade it and sort of like, you know, tweak the story for a time when you have to sympathize with the main character. Because, like, Charles Grodin, his choices are bad in the first movie.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah, and in this new one, you know, then you have Ben Stiller doing it, and he's just trying to do his best, you know?
Yes.
And, like, his new bride is just so horrible that, like, it pushes him to the amazing woman that happens to be hanging around, you know?
It's such a fun thing to watch Charles Grodin be such a dumbass for 90 minutes, and the movie like, he's still the lead character.
he makes
so many terrible, selfish decisions, and they're all very entertaining.
Yeah, he played like a very, you know, a lot of those stars in the 70s, you know, you watch their movies and they like they were very unpleasant a lot of the time. You know, it's not all Midnight Run and Great Muppet Caper for Charles Grodin.
He's also in, I think it's 1986 or was Last Resort, which feels like, I think it was like a Groundlings movie, but it's a, he plays just like a total asshole the entire time.
Yeah,
I think that's a real bonkers movie if you can find it, The Last Resort.
What is it? What is it? The Last Resort. I don't know if I've seen it.
It's like John Lovitz is in it. It's like a lot of like kind of like 80s Groundlings people are in it. Megan Mullally plays Charles Grodin's daughter in it.
Whoa.
It's just like he plays a salesman in Chicago that takes his family to like Club Sand. And it turns out it's like, it was a cheap club, beach club to go to because it's like on an island where there's like about to be a coup. So there's like all this terrorism and military stuff going on, and it's real bonkers movie.
I'm writing that down. That's exciting. Thank you.
Yeah. That's not your recommendation, is it?
No. Just like if we're talking Grodin, if this is the segment talking Grodin, I'd love to
Grodin. We always have to mention.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. What's yours?
We just always have to mention his bad guy in Ishtar as the evil CIA agent. I wish he was the bad guy in every movie. Like he should have been the bad guy in like Batman 3 or something.
Yeah, he's a real dick in some classics like Rosemary's Baby and King Kong. He gets squashed by King Kong.
Yeah,
and he deserves it. Like you cheer when he dies, which is always fun. but I was gonna say that I just was blown away recently. You can look this up. Doug also does love some TV on one of the streamers, Hulu, I think. They've got all of just old SNL. And in the first season, there's an episode where Charles Grodin hosted, and it's unlike any episode of the show ever, because the joke is that he just didn't show up to rehearsals all week. He went fishing or something, and he doesn't know the sketches, and he thinks the show is dumb, and all he does is whine and complain his way through sketches while everyone else tries to just keep up appearances and do a regular show. It is so weird, and he is so unlikable.
Are you sure he's not confusing that for when Steven Seagal was the host?
That was reality, man. He really didn't know what he was doing.
When Grodin died,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was saying when Grodin died, I rewatched a bunch of his movies, including Beethoven, and I did not remember that the premise of Beethoven is that an evil vet wants to shoot Beethoven in the head with a gun, because he's being paid to test skull impacts from high velocity weapons.
Jesus.
And he wants to kidnap Beethoven because his head is so big that it's the same as a human head. And the whole movie, a bumbling Stanley Tucci and Oliver Platt are trying to kidnap Beethoven so the bad guy can shoot him in the head with a gun.
And then if they succeeded, it would have been the prequel to Man's Best Friend, the horror movie.
is Duchovny in the first Beethoven or the second one?
Oh, he's in the first one.
Okay, yeah. He gets he's like on a lawn chair and gets dragged by Beethoven. I remember that. All right, we got to stop talking Beethoven because he's dead as well. Let's talk about... I'm sorry, the actor who played Beethoven is no longer with us. Jonah, what is your selection for recommendation today?
It's actually a movie that I will proudly screening in Los Angeles at the Los Feliz 3 with the American Cinematheque on August 21st. It'll be a screening of The Dark Backward, which is an Adam Rifkin movie that is just one of my favorite movies. It stars Judd Nelson and
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson and Bill Paxton. Judd Nelson and Bill Paxton,
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's an incredible Adam Rifkin movie. Bill Paxton and Judd Nelson play their trash men. Judd Nelson is basically playing a proto Neil Hamburger character with like slick down hair. He's really nerdy, one-liner comedian. Bill Paxton is his like biggest fan, roommate, and accordion player. Judd Nelson's girlfriend is played by Laura Flynn Boyle, who works at the diner. He's just a terrible comic, Judd Nelson, until one day he grows an arm out of his back. And then Bill Paxton comes up with the idea of just, it's like, why don't don't you say a joke, then you show everybody the arm and I'll play the accordion, and it becomes kind of a hit. So an agent contacts him, who's played by Wayne Newton. And then he's just trying to get them like a superstar, like to get on some Hollywood showcase show, who like the producer is played by Rob Lowe. It's an insane movie. It is so specific and weird and crazy, and it's one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, cool.
And you think it's streaming somewhere?
It's not streaming anywhere. If you're near a rental place, they'll probably have it, but I don't even think you can find it on YouTube. But I there's been rumors, I think, of like doing a Blu-ray release soon. It is out there to find if there's, you know, because I was able to rent it from Videotech in South Pasadena.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, I asked you to recommend a movie, not put people on a treasure hunt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought part of the fun was like finding movies. I didn't know this was just a show about convenience.
Snap. Doug loves convenience. Doug loves convenience. Good podcast.
I got to start a segment. Movies to seek out, no matter what. You must find these films. But it is.
I'm sorry. Space Jam: A New Legacy. Everyone, check
there
it
the
fuck
go.
Out.
There you go. That's the answer we're looking for. No,
I also saw fucking. I think go see Jungle Cruise when it comes out, because I just watched it. I saw a screener of that, and it's a fucking great movie.
Oh, right, good. But see, again, we're like, I'm just sorry. I should maybe set up the premise that it's got to be. Well, we're looking for movies that people can just turn around and watch now, and then tell me which one they like the best out of these three. River's Edge is going to kick ass if the other two movies are just not even available.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
I didn't know. Stipulate. Hey, can you recommend a movie that's easily streamable? Does movie count? No, it can't be movie. It can't be on DVD. Just make sure it's on. You know, people can seek it out if they want, if they really want.
No. Okay.
Okay. How about this?
All right.
Ed and his dead mother.
It's just a thing that I'm doing that I guess I need to explain in detail. And even once I've explained it, it seems very shocking.
Stop it. No, just put it in the email. Put it in the email.
Oh, my God. More instructions for somebody to follow when that people don't pay any attention to any of the instructions. No, it's all good. It's all for fun anyway. That's the point of it all.
Won that round. That's what we need to know.
Well, I think that Ben David's going to kick ass, like I said, because he picked a movie people can not only actually watch, but also probably have just seen on their own steam if they're a big movie fan. In fact, Beethoven's detriment to his points.
He should get less points.
What's that? I got one at a time, guys.
I was just saying Beethoven's on Peacock, so I have this on lock.
Wait, you're changing your answer to Beethoven?
I'm not. I'm just making a bad joke. That's what I did.
Okay. All right. So that concludes Recommendation Nation, and we're going to play some games right after the break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and it's time to play the first of a couple of games, and this one is called Woolly Bully Hurdy Gurdy. And this is a game where I name a movie, and then you tell me if that film has Woolly Bully by Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, or Hurdy Gurdy Man by Donovan, or both.
Wow.
Yeah. You know those songs, Woolly Bully,
Wooly bully.
Well, I'm excited to lose tonight.
Gertie. Well, this is the first game also, so it absolutely only kind of matters who wins, because you just win getting to go first in the next game. So everybody gets to take a guess, and we start with Padgett Brewster.
I'm ready.
The motion picture is called Sleepers, not the Woody Allen one, that other one. And does it have Wooly Bully, Hurdy Gurdy, or both?
Wooly Bully.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
We go to Ben David Grabinski. There's two choices left.
Hurdy Gurdy.
That is correct.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That is how it's done.
Really difficult to figure that out.
1 point for Ben David. Jonah, a motion picture you may remember called Man of the Year.
Yes.
Yeah. Wooly Bully, Hurdy Gurdy, both.
You know, this is a Ron Williams movie?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I never saw him, but I'm going to say, because Ron Williams, I think in this movie is like a lot of partying going on, so I'm going to say both.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's interesting. Padgett. Is it Wooly Bully or Hurdy Gurdy Man?
It's Wooly Bully.
That is incorrect.
What the?
Ben David.
Yeah, Ben David with a memory test.
If I get this wrong, I'm going to be really embarrassed, but my guess is Hurdy Gurdy.
It is the hurdy-gurdy-gurdy-gurdy. It's a very creepy song.
I would have guessed Wooly Bully if it was my first one, because that feels like the right vibe for that movie. So
That's kind of why I figured like maybe both, because it's like it feels like there would have been multiple moments in that movie.
The last thing I would have guessed was just hurdy-gurdy.
And it was, in fact, the last thing guessed.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That worked out. That worked out so perfectly for you.
But Jonah, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Jonah, you ready?
Yes, I am, Doug.
The film is Zodiac.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm going to just go with Hurdy Gurdy.
That is correct.
Wow! Because you know the only reason I realized it, because earlier you said it's a creepy song, and Zodiac is a creepy movie.
Yes, you put it together.
I did. I'm looking for the clues of all time. The future is in a few minutes.
You are eating all the breadcrumbs. You are doing it, my friend. You're climbing to the top of this cult. Padgett, which of those songs or both are in a movie called I Am Not a Serial Killer?
Both.
That is incorrect. I am so sorry to say.
What is happening?
Yeah, I don't know what. Your guessometer is off, Ben David.
Can I ask what year it came out?
You can ask, and then I will say this. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I know it. I think it came out in the past 10 years.
What? Okay, you don't even know what the movie is.
If that's the case, I'm going to guess Hurdy Gurdy.
You did it again. It's unbelievable.
Ben, can I guess what your thought process was? If it came out in the last 10 years, doing Wooly Bully would have been too hacked by that point, so they went with Hurdy Gurdy because it's not as used much.
My logic was that because Hurdy Gurdy is so well known for Zodiac, that it would be like either a satirical thing or just some sort of like intentional homage.
Okay.
I have a weird brain, as you can already figure out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, let's show that brain off with one more just for you, Ben David, because you won this game. You ran away with it. But I just want to run this one by you and see what happens. Hurdy Gurdy, Wooly Bully, or both? Dumb and Dumber.
Wooly Bully.
That is incorrect.
Just watched it like this.
I know you did. I saw you tweeting about it. I was like, oh shit, he's gonna know this one for sure. it was Hurdy Gurdy Man. And to the best of my knowledge, it has never both songs have never been used in the same movie.
Oh,
so trick. Yeah.
Good. I have a false memory of a movie I watched this week of there being a montage set to Wooly Bully. So I need to go to a doctor. I have a vivid memory of them just like walking around Aspen to Wooly Bully, and it didn't happen. So
yeah. What is that song? Dang, I can't remember it. But anyway, they do use a lot of music in that movie, so it's easy to not know what songs are in there. Let's go to another break, and we're going to come back with our big, final, exciting game to determine this week's winner after these messages for you. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, and Ben David Grabinski, the machine just keeps rolling. He's unbeatable in these guessing games that I come up with. And he gets to go first in our next game, which is not a tremendous advantage, but it is helpful. The game is called Filmily Feud. It's like Family Feud, but yes. but filmy.
I like this.
You like that game?
I love this one.
All right. Here's basically how this is going to work. I know it's not two families. It's three individuals competing. So we'll start with Ben David. I will ask a Family Feud style question. And I have polled 100 people and broken down the percentages of the people that responded to each of the answers that I will give you in advance. And then first person picks one, second person picks from the remaining, et cetera. That's why you each get to go first. There'll be three rounds, and we'll do a tiebreaker if we have to. So fun.
I'm not going to win this one.
It didn't. I think we should go back and listen to the tape, but I think that you've said that a couple times when you proceeded to win.
Well, that's
so you're
because
just a very, you're a very humble
competitor. Ben David succeeds is where he lowers the stakes for himself so he can.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You tell everybody I'm going to lose, and then when you win, you're just like, "Well, I didn't see it coming." But
yeah,
he's
a pool hustler.
Yeah, pool hustler.
I don't have a methodology behind this. I swear to God,
sounds like something a hustler would say.
Yeah,
this is Color of Money all over again.
It's in the way that you use it. All right, here we go. First up is Ben David. He gets to go first in this question. I asked 100 people, which star of Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri gets the most parking tickets in real life? Is it Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, Francis McDormand, or Peter Dinklage?
Woody Harrelson.
People answered this poll as if they have an opinion on this.
I just one question. So I'm guessing the opinion of the people you polled, just to clarify, as obvious as that sounds.
I just asked that question, which no one could possibly know the answer to, and this is their by vote. Everybody had to pick one of those four, and who got the biggest percentage, that's the most points that you can get, is by selecting that person.
So Woody Harrelson, there you go.
You're going Woody Harrelson, okay. So that leaves Francis McDormand, Sam Rockwell, Peter Dinklage. What say you, Jonah Ray?
Well, to me, Francis McDormand, super talented, but she seems like she might be a bit scatterbrained in that department. But at the same time, if it's people voting, they might go for Peter Dinklage. So I'm gonna go with Peter Dinklage next, because I would normally go for Woody Harrelson because people voted for him the most because he's like a stoner.
Okay, I like that theory. Paget.
I'm so glad. So glad you went with Dinklage.
Why? Because you think Francis or Sam is going to be a hire?
Well, I think Sam Rockwell and Peter Dinklage live in New York City and probably don't have cars and probably don't get tickets. And I think Frances McDormand just doesn't give a fuck. I think she does not value money the way other people do. I think she cares about other people, but I think she realizes parking tickets are a racket. I think she racks them up.
Ooh, that's nice.
All right. Would you rather hear which got the most or the least first? Which direction should I go in?
The least.
Okay. All right. That's normally what I would do, I guess. Jonah.
I like that you bring us in on the project.
Yeah.
Your instincts are good.
I'm sorry, Jonah. Peter Dinklage got a mere 5%
okay.
of the vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not a great start for you. You've got 5 points. You're on the board anyway. At least you didn't say a name that isn't one of the four that I wrote down.
It's the only way it could have been worse.
Only way. But in game shows, people do crazy things. Coming in next with 21% of the vote and 21 points going to Paget Brewster, it's Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
I guess I know. I don't think she's tops because I don't. Maybe people don't know. Maybe they think, because also she plays a lot of characters who are extremely reasonable because she's a great actress.
And, yeah.
So maybe they think of that, like her character in Fargo definitely wouldn't get parking tickets. You know?
Yeah, she's a police officer. Marge would never. I get it. Yeah. But I think there's another side to Frances that is riskier than Dinklage.
I think so. But I also think she might be like, doesn't care about driving. So she's never worried about parking tickets. Because she's being driven around usually, probably. But who knows? Some people love the feel of the road. Coming in the third spot with 27%, the unchosen Sam Rockwell.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, he is a method actor, so from project to project, maybe his characters would be better or worse at paying tickets or...
forgetting where he parked.
Putting money in the meter, yeah. He plays such a wide range of characters. But, Ben David, you nailed it with Woody Harrelson because he garnered 47% of the vote.
That's a lot.
Yeah, people really went for him. And I think it's the weed thing. I think they're making a joke that he would forget to pay, you know, where he parked his car, or, you know.
Is that what weed does?
That's what I think people think it does.
That's like just the cliche of it.
Yeah.
I saw the SpongeBob movie in college really stoned. It took me 90 minutes to find my car after. So I feel like that's why I voted for him.
I think Woody Harrelson has proven that if you smoke a lot of weed, it really ups your ability to wear wigs. Because that guy's got all sorts of kinds of hair all the time. All right, so Ben David is in the lead with 47 points, and Paget's not right behind with 21. This is this is already getting dire. And Jonah Ray is here, everybody.
That's how they introduced me on my own TV shows.
Well, yeah, they got to get to the robots first, right? Let's see. So that means that Jonah gets to go first in this round. Right. And then we go to Paget, then Ben David. And this is the question, Jonah. Which of these is the dumbest Clint Eastwood movie? Is it Every Which Way But Loose, Any Which Way You Can, Pink Cadillac, or Unforgiven?
Any Which Way You Can, because I have a feeling... I mean, I want to say Loose, though, because that's like the original, but the fact that he made a sequel to it makes me think that that's more ridiculous. So I'm going to have to go with Can.
Any Which Way You Can.
Yeah.
All right. Was Ruth Gordon in that one?
That's a bad idea, though. I think that
was Ruth Gordon. Was Ruth Gordon still, was she in both or was she only in the first?
I've never seen either.
Because that would be a severe, that'd be a severe drop off because it's funnier to see an orangutan flip off an old lady flipping off an orangutan than an orangutan just flipping off just a generic redneck, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so you're going Any Which Way You Can, the sequel to Every Which Way But Loose, the very popular Clint Eastwood movies where he co-starred with Clyde the orangutan, who was probably abused, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Paget.
Yes.
Which one that was, of the remaining that, ones?
That was exactly my reasoning, Jonah, and you beat me to it, so I think you should be proud.
Thank you.
I think you're going to win it. I am going to have to go with Pink Cadillac.
Okay, I was taking a drink when you said that. Really? You're going with Pink Cadillac?
Yeah, the only movie I've seen of these is Unforgiven.
Yeah, same.
Which is arguably not a dumb movie.
Right, so I got to go with what's the next dumbest title?
Okay.
Pink Cadillac.
All right. Ben David, you have to choose.
Any Which Way But Loose.
Every Which Way But Loose. Well, this round, it's exciting no matter which end I start with. Because things are really, really shaking out in an interesting way. Let's see, what's the best way to put this? Oh, this is fun. I'm going to jump around. I'm going to make like House of Pain and jump around.
Get up.
Get down. Unforgiven. A Best Picture winner of the Oscar in the dumbest Clint Eastwood movies question got 17% of the vote.
That's what you always got to keep in consideration. Like, how many people are just trying to be ironic, you know, fucking edgelords?
How many people are going to be goofy? Like, that's what I love about watching a TV show, Family Feud, especially lately, because there's always like two people that their answer to the question is just like they looked at each other and came up with something stupid and then, you know, made it into the poll.
It's funny because I think the slogan for the show should be deserves got nothing to do with it. So it's a good reference.
Yeah. Okay. So this is where things really take an interesting turn. Every Which Way But Loose gets a mere 10% of the vote.
Oh. What?
Whoa. It's considered the least dumbest by the people that were polled. I don't know if they, maybe they don't speak English. I don't know what was happening.
I told you I was going to lose. This is
it's a classic.
This is really crazy. And then Any Which Way You Can got 28%. So Jonah was very right about it getting more than Every Which Way But Loose. But you missed the hanging fruit that is people's, I think people just don't understand it. I don't think people have seen it because 45% of the people voted for Pink Cadillac.
Yay!
So Paget goes storming into the lead with She's Now Got 66 points to Ben David's 57. And Jonah, Ray, is always a pleasure to have on the show. let me just a quick glance at the numbers, and Jonah can still win this thing with his current amount of points, which is 33. We start with Paget on this one.
Okay.
Then we go to Ben David, then to Jonah. Like I said, there is a tiebreaker, but that just seems like it would be astonishing if there was a tie. I'd be quite impressed.
Yeah.
All right. I asked Twitter, without any further explanation, without even saying I'm doing a game like Family Feud on Douglas movies, I just asked Twitter, which wick burns the hottest? John Wick, John Wick 2, or John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum? I think John Wick 2 is Chapter 2 as well. So it's plain John Wick or John Wick Chapter 2 or John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Paget, which one of those would people respond to the most?
People responded to the longest title. So the highest percentage will be John Wick Chapter 3 Fight of the Antebellum, whatever it was.
You're right. People probably would have responded to that because that really would have been a long title. But it's just... It's just Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Fight Paralabum. The Antebellum. Okay.
Yeah. What's his name? Explains that what Parabellum means in a speech, and it's beautiful.
Okay, I like that one.
And it's on the screen in like a huge font when he says it later.
Ian, what's his name?
McShane,
yeah, that guy's awesome.
McShane.
He's so good. Okay, so Padgett's going with part three, and that leaves for Ben David, John Wick 2 or John Wick Uno.
Padgett's going to win this game. I'm not doing For Love of Money or no, The Color of Money, like thing here. That's I think it's got to be three. Like the first one's my favorite because it's the most emotional, but everyone always likes more action. So I'm just going to go with the first because I've already lost and it's my favorite. So there you go.
Well, it's, right. It's my turn to pick. I'm gonna honestly have to go with two because what's better in a sandwich than the filling?
Okay.
I'm just trying to stretch out the show.
No. This is gonna be the perfect length. I'm tallying everything up, and it's a very exciting conclusion. If I were like a TV show, I would go to another break right now. That's how exciting this finish is.
When we come back,
you know, I'd be like, after this, and we'll come back and we'll settle this thing. And I'm sad we didn't get to do the tiebreaker because the tiebreaker was, who is the best actor, Simon or Garfunkel?
Oh, that's a tough one. That
right?
Tough one.
Yeah. Hold on to that one.
They're both good. They're both good actors.
Yeah, one's drama, Garfunkel, and Simon is a comedian.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about the movie Paul Simon starred in and directed, One Trick Pony? That was funny?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That was funny to you? Was he a clown to you?
I just, they're the same height, Joe Pesci and Paul Simon.
Yeah. I'll tell you how that one worked out since we're not going to get to play it. Or do you guys want to guess?
What if we just make it the,
I'm guessing Simon.
Winner takes all with that one.
Yeah. I think,
that'd be brutal.
Brutal.
That's what it could have come down to. Cause that's what happens on Family Feud on TV is that the fifth person in the family will be the ones that have to go sudden death. And that's where there's only one answer on the board. First person to buzz in and guess the right one, you know, wins. And it's always a real obvious question. So you just gotta move fast. Wow. All right. So who said what? Garfunkel?
I said Simon.
You're going Simon. Any Garfunkels?
I think Garfunkel. So. I think they both qualify, but I guess I would have to go with Garfunkel.
What about Jonah? Did you say?
Yeah. I mean, I think more people know Paul Simon's work, acting work, than Garfunkel, but I think Garfunkel is a more capable actor.
It broke down to 44% and 56%.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, and it went in favor, and it started off the other way, and then at the end went in favor of Garfunkel.
Hey!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's some interesting people on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter account that are...
Yeah.
Or actually, that's on my regular Doug Loves Movies account. So that's wild. All right. Let's get your conclusion to this game out. Very exciting finish.
Me? Is it me?
Is it me? Is it me, Doug?
Let's get Jonah out of the way first, because John Wick 2, unfortunately, only got 23% of the vote.
Oh man, I really tried hard.
The middle movie in a trilogy that's considered successful. You know, I'm not talking a trilogy where it falls apart in the third one. I'm talking about the ones where all three are good. It's always like the middle one that gets the least love for some reason, and like a middle child in a family. And so it only got 23%. But then, coming in at number one, with 50% of the vote, is in fact John Wick 1.
What?
Wow.
That
is true. John Wick 3 gets 27% of the vote. That means that Ben David Krabinski has won again.
Oh, shit. The Hustler.
That's a technicality, because if I'd gone first on that one, I would have guessed John Wick 3. Like, it's just...
You can stop. You can stop with the games, Ben. We get
it. There are no games, man.
You won.
Sounds like someone who would be playing a game would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn it.
Stop tugging, Ben. The glass of milk is full. congratulations, dude. It's very exciting. Doug Loves Movies is headed out on the road for the next several episodes, so we will get Ben David back as soon as possible. If you want to come back, do you want to come back again?
I just gotta ride this until I'm eventually right about being wrong, or wrong about whatever, until like actually.
I think it's a fun strategy. I think if you keep saying you're gonna lose and keep winning, it's really gonna it's gonna win America's heart. And people, especially now during the Olympics, people need heroes. And you know, they don't not only don't have to wear capes, they can also just sit at home on a Zoom call and be a hero. And thank you for that, Ben David. His movie, Happily, is available in pretty much all formats. Correct?
Yeah, you can watch on an airplane, rent it, buy it digitally, or rent it, buy it physically.
It's right now the best reason to travel is to watch Happily on an airplane. if you have to travel, let's only go for you know really serious reasons, and that would be one of them. Anything else you'd like to promote, Ben David Grabinski?
I'd just like to promote, you know, everything that Jonah and Padgett and Doug are doing. I think we should do that. And really okay. Just support art.
All right. Let's do that.
Cool.
Padgett Brewster, behind the attraction. What do you got episodes wise so far? Six?
I think, are there six up? I know there were, we have 10 altogether.
Seven? Oh, 10. Okay. 10.
There are 10 altogether. They put five up. The best one, I think, is Haunted Mansion, but they all have something really weird and interesting that I had certainly never heard before about how things were done. And I hope people like it, but most importantly, I hope Doug likes it.
Five episodes. I can't wait. And then five more will come out. Did they tell you another date, or is that just sometime in the future?
No, it's sometime in the future. I don't know when. And unless they call me up and have me record another commercial for it, I won't know.
All right. Well, I'll watch an hour about the goddamn teacups. I'm so in.
That's hopefully season two, because I don't think there's any teacups, bud. I don't think there's any teacups.
I want an hour
I was using that as an example of a ride that probably doesn't have that much of a backstory. It's just like we needed an Alice in Wonderland ride, and the movie has the teacups that spin around. thank you for being here, Padgett, and you know, you're welcome back anytime. You don't have to win to come back, but it helps. Jonah Ray. He's on a podcast hiatus, but that's because he's making new episodes of Mystery Science Theater for people to view on, where'd you say?
It's going
to
be like a self distributing platform called the Gizmoplex that Joel Hodgson is currently working on. I'm also in a movie that just came out on VOD and rental called How to Deter a Robber. It premiered at Fantastic Fest last year. It's written, directed by Maria Bissell. And I have a small part in it, but it's got Chris Mulkey from Twin Peaks. It's got a SAG after president, Gabrielle Cartieres, and she was also in 90210. But it's a really kind of a fun, dark a movie about a home invasion. And I play a cop in it. So I'm really proud of being a part of it. It's a real true kind of independent movie.
You say you play incompetent?
I play an incompetent cop, yeah.
Oh, you said cop in it. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jonah. And I will be doing Doug Loves Movies at the American Comedy Company in Sweet Home San Diego on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, July 31st at 4:20. You can also see it in San Antonio on August 7th. I'm also doing a stand-up show in San Antonio on August 8th. And Doug Loves Movies will also be at the Punchline in Sacramento on Saturday, August 14th. Lots of Doug Loves Movies and stand-up dates popping up on my calendar. So just go to douglovesmovies.com. That's douglovesmovies.com. Ben David Grabinski, you're going to be back soon.
but I'm still going to do what I did last week and the week before and close out the show with the last line from your film, Happily, in honor of your ongoing success. This year, Claire Kramer is our number one winner. She's won 5 shows.
Whoa.
So with 4 wins, Ben David Grabinski, you are nipping at her heels to be the next 5-time winner.
This is intense.
It really is. It really is. I hope you already.
Life of a Doug Loves Movies contestant is always intense.
Yeah.
It really regular is. Fucking people. I hate them.
There's nothing more intense than a stone comedian asking you obscure questions. Thank you, though, for being here. Thank you to Padgett Brewster and Jonah Ray. And as always, we need new friends.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.